You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. On this podcast, we're discussing current events from a biblical perspective. This episode is being released on February 11th, 2021. As I announced last week, we're going to be discussing something that people have been talking about a lot lately. We're going to be talking about the topic of conspiracy theories. Now, we're not going to be discussing all the different, quote, conspiracy theories that are out there. Instead, what we're going to do is be talking about some general principles that should help us at any time and with any theory that we may encounter, whether it's one that is out there right now or one that we're going to face sometime in the future. For links to all the stories that we're going to be noticing, as well as related materials, you can check out the show notes, plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/021121. Now for our topic for this week. First story we're going to notice is this one. Half of U.S. Protestant pastors hear conspiracy theories in their churches. From Lifeway Research, it says a new study from Nashville-based Lifeway Research finds 49% of U.S. Protestant pastors say they frequently hear members of their congregation repeating conspiracy theories that they have heard about why something is happening in our country. Around 1 in 8, 13%, strongly agree that their congregants are sharing conspiracy theories, defined by Merriam-Webster as, quote, a theory that explains an event or set of circumstances as a result of a secret plot by usually powerful conspirators. Again, that's from Lifeway Research. Now, when you read that article, and there'll be a link in the show notes, you can check that out. The article contrasts conspiracy theories with truth, assuming that they must be opposites. But what conspiracy theories they're talking about, they don't mention in the article. So whatever it is that these pastors are hearing, that their congregants are saying, the churchgoers are saying, as these conspiracy theories, it doesn't mention what it is exactly that they're talking about. But there is an assumption, not just from the author of the article, but it's held by many people, that whatever has been labeled as a conspiracy theory must necessarily be false. Let me say that again. There are a lot of people who have a mindset that whatever is a conspiracy theory or has been labeled as a conspiracy theory, that must be false. Keep that in mind, and we'll come back to that point later in the episode. Now, again, the article doesn't mention any specific conspiracy theories that were being spread by the churchgoers that these pastors were hearing being mentioned. And we're not really going to get into any specific conspiracy theories here. Again, we're just talking about principles, whether it's for what we might hear now or what we might hear years from now. So whether it's a theory about the pandemic or the election or anything else, we're not going to get into specifics about whatever theory may be out there, but I do want us to discuss principles. As I mentioned last week when I announced what we were going to be talking about, there are some who are very quick to believe any conspiracy theory that comes along. And on the other hand, there are those who are very quick to dismiss all, quote, conspiracy theories. As Christians, we should not take either of these approaches. So what are these principles that we need to keep in mind? Regardless of what theory, what we hear, what biblical principles do we need to keep in mind regarding conspiracy theories? We're going to notice six principles we need to remember. First, conspiracies do exist. We have examples in the Bible. We won't go through all of them, but remember just a couple of them. One example is Absalom's conspiracy to take the throne from his father David in 2 Samuel chapter 15. Now, the Bible account focuses on David and Absalom because David was the king, and the Bible focuses on him and his reign, and then you have Absalom who is his son. So it's very clear to us as we're reading the Bible what is happening. But to the average Israelite, especially those who are not in Jerusalem, Hearing rumors of Absalom wanting to overthrow his father may have seemed crazy. But something sounding crazy does not necessarily mean it's wrong or mean that it's untrue. It could be, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. It could be that we just have limited information. Now, this doesn't mean we have the license to spread misinformation, but it does mean that something sounding, quote, crazy to us doesn't necessarily disprove it, whatever it is. Now, another example of a conspiracy we find in the Bible is in Acts 23, where the Jews, certain ones of the Jews, conspired together to kill Paul. And in that account, you have the political leaders who are involved, the members of the Jewish council. They're involved, but not in the planning or the execution of it. All they did, or all they were persuaded to do, was to make an innocent-sounding request of the Roman commander to bring Paul back before the council, and then once they would do that, the conspirators would be lying in wait. They would carry out their plan to kill him on his way to meet with the council. The leaders would have been complicit, but they could very easily deny any involvement, and their role would not have been apparent in this conspiracy. Now, these types of plots and schemes happen in every nation, in every generation, all around the world. The existence of conspiracies should not be surprising. Often we just don't know anything about them or know very little about them because the whole purpose of a conspiracy is to try to keep it secret. So these things happen all the time. There's all sorts of things going on that we don't know about, or possibly we know very little about, and maybe couldn't even piece together what's going on from that. But conspiracies do exist. The second principle that we need to remember is that we should expect for wicked, selfish, and anti-God people, for lack of a better way to describe it, to be in positions of power. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Notice when he talks about here our struggle, this spiritual warfare that we are engaged in the cause of Christ. Rulers, powers, world forces, they're all included in the opposition to God and his people. Having people in positions of power who respect God is the exception rather than the rule. I think we like to think the best of people who are elected or people who hold some official office, some in some bureaucratic agency or some other position of power, whether it's in the government or out of the government. We want to assume the best a lot of times of them. But that is the exception where they respect God. That is the exception rather than the rule. Those types of positions attract wicked, selfish people. The third principle is that we should not blindly trust civil authorities. We submit to them. Yes, we do that. Romans 13:1 tells us we submit to civil authorities. Do we give honor to them? Sure, Romans 13 and verse 7 tells us that we are to give honor to whom honor is due. Do we trust them? Not the way that we put our trust in God. King Herod, over in Acts 12, was condemned because he accepted praise from the people of Tyre and Sidon. They were crying out, "The voice of a God and not of a man." And he was struck down, as verse 23 says, because he did not give God the glory and he was eaten by worms and died. We should not elevate any leader to the level of God. Our trust needs to be in God, not in the powers that be, whoever they are. The psalmist said in Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." We are not to blindly trust civil authorities. Again, submit, yes. Honor, sure. trust them, not in the way that we trust God. The fourth principle is that it is good to help people keep from being led toward disaster in this life. Proverbs 24, verse 11, the wise man said, "Deliver those who are being taken away to death, and those who are staggering to slaughter, oh, hold them back." Now we read this, and we may be quick to want to make a spiritual application to this, and we can certainly do that, but it's not limited to that. If we can help people avoid harm or avoid being ruined in this life, then that's a good thing. It's not a negative. That is a good thing to do. And fifth principle, so we are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Jesus said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves." Matthew 10, verse 16. We are not to be naive, because there are wolves out there, those who would do us harm. And that includes, again, as we talked about, those in positions of power. Don't be naive, but also don't do evil. Be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. If there are rumors and suspicions and conspiracy theories, don't let those lead you to do something like storm the Capitol building. But if rumors and suspicions and conspiracy theories lead you to stock up on food, to have cash on hand, to learn how to operate a ham radio, or things like that, that's not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, conspiracy theory or not, those could be examples of exercising wisdom and good stewardship. So don't be naive. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And then the sixth principle. We are not to lose sight of what is most important. If a conspiracy theory is true, and yes, some of them may be true, even if they sound crazy, some of them may be true. Again, we're not talking about specifics as far as what specific ones you may have heard. But some of these, as we've already talked about, conspiracies do exist. And we may not have all the information. We might not know what's going on. We may know nothing about them. But some may be true. But even if it is, even if some conspiracy theory turns out to be true, we need to remember that this world is not our home. As Christians, our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians 3 and verse 20 assures us of that. And so we need to do what Paul said earlier in that chapter, Philippians 3, 14. Keep pressing on to the goal. Don't be distracted. Don't be thrown into despair from whatever is going on in the world. Even if the craziest and scariest conspiracy theory turns out to be true, we still have hope of a home in heaven. So let's not lose sight of that. Now, we've gone through those pretty quickly. There's a lot more that we could talk about, but for the sake of time, I wanted to try to be as brief as I could. But those are six principles that I think we need to remember. And I think a lot of people are ignoring some of these. Again, some people are very quick to just accept whatever they hear, and some are very quick to dismiss everything that is labeled as a conspiracy theory. Whether it's something we hear now or something that is in the future, we need to remember. Now, I may write more on this in the future and expand on what we've talked about here. And if I do, that will be posted on the Plain Bible Teaching website. But for now, I just want us to consider these things, think about these things. Now, getting back to the point that I mentioned earlier, that there is an assumption that many have, and even some Christians have, that whatever has been labeled as a, quote, conspiracy theory must necessarily be false. Again, I think there are a lot of Christians who have bought into this idea. Now, if you're listening to this and you have this tendency to, you hear something and you think it's a conspiracy theory, or other people have called it a conspiracy theory, and so you just immediately dismiss it, I want to encourage you to be careful. And the reason for that is the second article that we're going to be talking about. Snopes article says creationism, quote, bears all the hallmarks of a conspiracy theory. From FaithWire, it says, last week, Snopes, a fact-checking website that was used by Facebook for several years to combat what the platform dubbed misinformation, published an article describing creationism as a, quote, conspiracy theory. The author of the article, chemistry professor Paul Braderman, who describes himself as a skeptic and anti-creationist, claimed in the piece that creationists, those who embrace the seven-day creation story as it's outlined in the Bible, go to great lengths to demonize the proponents of evolution. Braderman bemoaned the fact that 40% of Americans, according to a 2019 Gallup survey, believe in the creationist view of the origin of humanity, which is that we are descended from the first humans God created, Adam and Eve, within roughly the past 10,000 years. Such beliefs derive from the doctrine of biblical infallibility, long accepted as integral to the faith of numerous evangelical and Baptist churches through the world, he wrote. But I would argue that the present-day creationist movement is a fully-fledged conspiracy theory. Now, for those of you who are quick to dismiss everything that the world, whether it's government leaders, academics, society in general, whoever, if you are quick to dismiss everything that the world labels as a, quote, conspiracy theory, be careful. If every idea is to be rejected and ridiculed because the world labels it as a conspiracy theory, what happens when they label certain beliefs found in the Bible in the same way? This story, and coincidentally, just saw this. I announced last week we were going to talk about conspiracy theories, and I came across this story after I made that announcement. But this story shows that this is not a hypothetical. Is it widespread? Well, maybe not yet. But be careful that your desire to join with the world in denouncing conspiracy theories, be careful that you're not putting yourself in position where you're tempted to compromise your belief in what the Word of God teaches when that is labeled as a conspiracy theory. Again, it goes back to that one of those principles. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We are not to accept everything we hear, but we're also not to reject everything that the world labels as a conspiracy theory, because sometimes we may be rejecting more than we intend to. Now, that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found it to be thought-provoking and helpful. Maybe you disagree with some of the things that I've said, but I hope you will at least think about them and consider them. Again, we haven't talked about any specific conspiracy theories that may be out there. And so I'm not defending anyone that's out there or condemning anyone that's out there. I'm just simply talking about principles, because these are things we need to keep in mind in every situation, in every case where something like this comes up. So I hope you'll think about these things and consider these principles that we find in the scriptures. Now, for links to the news stories that we cited, as well as other links that are relevant to these things that we've talked about, you can visit the show notes for this episode, plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/021121. If you know of others who would be interested in hearing this or who would benefit from this discussion, please share this with them. Also, if you see a news story that might make for a good discussion, please email the link to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. So thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.